I am so humbled to be here this morning and also incredibly thankful for the opportunity to proclaim the glorious truths from Scripture. Thank you, Dr. Moeller, for allowing me to preach today. Your leadership has greatly influenced my life, and I am incredibly thankful for that. Also this morning, I want to take this opportunity to thank the faculty. Your faithfulness in teaching me truth every single day as I enter class, I'm so thankful that you constantly point me to Jesus. And I'm also incredibly thankful that you remind me why I'm here at Southern Seminary. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for teaching me faithfully. This morning, turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verses 22 to 25. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. And this is what God's word says. One day, he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" I wonder, have you ever experienced a situation that caused you to have great fear? It was the night before my wedding, a night that should have been filled with great anticipation, great joy, fun because it was with lots of friends and family. Everything should have been great. I should have been enjoying really good, super scrummy food at the rehearsal dinner. But instead, I got this plague-like sickness that came over me, and it thrust me to just collapse on the couch. And the thoughts of excitement surrounding the wedding day were replaced with innumerable plans to think about where I could stash lots of sick bags all over the venue. I started to think about strategies that would help me survive the day. But these strategies were largely based on fear. My mind quickly started to think about all the what-ifs. What if I don't make it to my wedding day? What if I have to run down the aisle to be sick? What if I die before I say I do? What if I just don't enjoy this day? I had so many fearful thoughts. Perhaps you can't relate to this experience. Maybe you're here this morning and you're married and your wedding day was beautiful and wonderful and everything went really, really smoothly. But everyone in this room can relate to fearful circumstances. What have you walked through that has caused you to fear? Maybe you are fearful about the final exams that you know that you have to take next week. Or maybe you have received a phone call that you were not expecting, and it was informing you of an extremely disappointing news. Perhaps you have made plans and at the last minute, everything got changed and cancelled and it propelled you into a state of confusion and questioning. Or maybe you've had a relationship that has not turned out the way that you wanted it to turn out and it has created much pain in your life. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25 tells the narrative of the disciples and how they encountered an unexpected situation. An unexpected situation that created much fear in their lives. But at the end of this very short narrative, what we are going to find out is that through this fearful situation, the Lord is causing them to see His divine power, His majesty, His authority in an undeniable way. Amen. Chapter 8 begins with Jesus teaching and telling parables. If you study the context of this passage, you will see that He has just finished telling the parable of the sower. And then you come to verse 22. We move from parables to a dramatic event on the Sea of Galilee, which would be for the disciples a life-changing experience. And what a revelation we are about to see of Jesus in this story. What a difference it made in the disciples' lives. And what a difference it makes in our lives whenever we face fear. As we study this passage, it's really important to avoid prematurely over-personalizing the disciples' experience, where we make the mistake at taking a hurried look at Jesus and then quickly moving on to focus on our storms. And then this just reduces the narrative to merely an event that teaches us about trials. We must also be careful to not miss the big idea of this passage, Christ's identity. Luke wants us to grasp who Jesus truly is. And in grasping who Jesus truly is, we will then be positioned to understand how He helps us in the midst of fear. What this passage helps us to see is that the event is personal for each of us and speaks directly into our individual lives, but it is also above and beyond each of us, revealing overarching, beautiful, and glorious truths about Jesus. And so, therefore, what this text enables us to see and be convinced of is that because Jesus is the Son of God, who has divine authority and majesty, the Christian can face fear and always, always, always have hope. Amen. To convince us of this reality, the passage highlights two common themes in the disciples' lives then and in our lives now. Theme 1, verses 22 through to 24, highlights the fear that comes from thinking that Jesus does not care. And then theme number 2, verses 24 through to 25 will highlight the hope that Jesus brings amidst the fear. Firstly, the theme of fear that comes from thinking Jesus does not care. Verse 22 begins by telling us that one day Jesus and the disciples got into a boat and they were going to sail to the other side of the lake. And in this passage, it gives us a beautiful privilege, an awesome privilege to closely observe Jesus. We get to witness that the Lord Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully man. In verse 23, we see that Jesus is fully man. Jesus gets into the boat and he falls fast asleep. As you read the Gospels, you realize that Jesus' schedule at this time is extremely packed full. He got tired. He had to sleep because he is fully man. But as Jesus fell sound asleep, a windstorm arose. The boat started filling with water, and the disciples were in great danger. Scholars do tell us that because of the Sea of Galilee's low-lying position, it was prone to getting storms. But we are told that this storm was really nasty, that it could have completely sunk the boat. Now, my hometown in Northern Ireland is very close to the coast, and I used to love on a really good day to go up to the coast and sit and see the ocean being really calm and peaceful and listening to the waves and make their noise. And on those good, beautiful days, I loved sitting there with a huge, big, massive, beautiful ice cream. But then there were other days where it was not good weather. In fact, in Northern Ireland, that's the majority of the time. But it was really, really windy, and you would see the waves just lashing up against the harbour walls. And whenever the weather was like, and when the weather was like that, and the storm was massive, that was definitely the days that I did not want to eat an ice cream because I would have got very wet. But here, as we're reading this passage, the disciples faced the latter. A moment on the sea that was not calm and peaceful. They were going to die. And as they were panicking, Jesus was fast asleep. He was seemingly detached from their desperation. The disciples in verse 24 wake Jesus and say, "Master, Master, we are perishing." In Mark's gospel, he asked that the disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care?" Here they are facing great danger, and to them, Jesus seems distant and very unconcerned. Here they are perishing, and Jesus is completely oblivious. Here they are perishing, and they wonder, does Jesus even care? Perhaps this morning you have had a similar experience. You have faced storms and have felt that Jesus is so far away and it seems like he is absent. Perhaps you currently find yourself in the midst of a storm. Perhaps Jesus seems detached from your desperation. Everyone and everything seems to be having this mountaintop experience, but yet you feel like you are in the complete low of a very, very dark and deep valley. The storm is raging and the Lord Jesus seems asleep. If that is the case, you probably can identify with the words of the disciples where they said, "We are perishing and you are doing absolutely nothing about it." But verse 24 tells us that Jesus wakes up and he does do something about it. We are told that he does something that no one else can do. Jesus doesn't look at the disciples and say, "Boys, we are sunk. Go and grab as many buckets that you can get and start hauling out that water as fast as we possibly can." But I am so thankful this morning that that is not the narrative. The disciples' wrong assumptions are totally and utterly corrected. The one who seemed absent is now commanding the storm. The one who seemed detached is in every way totally engaged. The one who seemed like he did not care is actively involved in the well-being of his disciples. He knew that the disciples had to learn an extremely valuable lesson on who he is. They had to learn that he is the Son of God, the one in complete authority and majesty. And this is the same for every Christian encountering difficulty. He is present and he is working out his good purposes. Storms can quickly fill the landscape of our perspective. So whenever you feel that God is distant, pray. And ask God to help you to remember that he is always present and working all things together for those that love him. Write out Bible verses. Put them around places that you see every day, whether that be at the kitchen sink, in front of your car, in your bedroom, that you see it the first thing as soon as you get up in the morning. Verses like James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let God's word remind you of the truth that through difficult circumstances, God is with you and that he is making you more like Christ. How amazing is that? How kind is God? How gracious and how merciful is he that even through the most difficult and hardest of circumstances, that he is working it out for his, for your good, for his glory, and to make you more like Christ. Amen. And lastly, thank him. Thank him because Jesus is God the Son who has complete authority and majesty. He acts as our merciful intercessor between us and God the Father. And I am so incredibly thankful this morning that because what Christ accomplished on the cross, those who trust in him have eternal hope and that they will dwell with him one day forever and ever and ever and ever. That one day they will experience no more storms, but instead eternal peace and eternal calm. If you are a child of God this morning, how glorious is that news today? Billy Graham said, "The key is to learn to trust God, no matter what our fears are. And we can trust him because he loves us. And he is greater than anything we will ever face." But not only do we encounter the fear that comes from thinking that Jesus does not care, in these verses we also encounter the hope that Jesus brings amidst fear. In verse 24 and 25 we see this. We are told that Jesus awakes. He rebukes the wind and he rebukes the raging waves. And as soon as Jesus speaks, the wind and the waves obey and the storm is stilled. What happens here is a miraculous event. Jesus asserts his authority as creator over his creation. He is not just the sleeping, not just the sleeping one who is fully man. He is also the one who speaks and proves that he is fully God. Sometimes we can quickly read over these verses and not marvel at how breathtaking these verses are. at how glorious Jesus is. Don't let that happen this morning. But pause on verses 24 and 25. And may that thrust you to praise your Savior, who is mighty, who is able, who is active, who is powerful, who is sovereign over absolutely everything. And that is the God this morning that we worship and adore, and for all of eternity will praise and worship him. So what happens here is great. It's powerful. And as we read the rest of Gospels, Luke, we see his authority exercised throughout chapters 8 and chapters 9. We will see Jesus assert his authority over the demonic world, over illness, and even over death. But here in this passage, Jesus teaches something about his identity. Something that only Jesus, the Son of God, could do. He commands nature and it obeys. This is something we cannot do. If it's a really, really bad storm outside, we definitely can't go outside and say, look, I want it to be a little bit quieter here. I want a nicer day. Because the wind and waves will definitely not listen to us. But I am thankful that that's not the case with the Lord Jesus. Jesus can and did calm the storm. Other scripture attests that there is only one who can command nature and it obeys. Psalm 107 verse 29 says this, he made the storm be still, and the waves and the winds were hushed. So for Jesus to stand in this boat and speak in this way shows that he himself is divine. He is fully God with complete authority and glorious majesty. And when the waters are calmed in verse 25, Jesus goes from rebuking the wind and the waves to rebuking the disciples. And he says, where is your faith? Then we are told that the disciples start speaking to one another. And they say, who is this? Just think about what these men witnessed in verse 25. We are told they are afraid and they marveled. Now they have a glimpse that Jesus is even more outstanding, more amazing, and more glorious than they ever thought him to be. Because Jesus is the Son of God who has divine authority and majesty, the Christian can face fear knowing there is always hope, even in the midst of a storm. So how can we apply this narrative to our lives? This passage helps us to know that Jesus is always present, even when it seems and feels like he is distant. No matter what your fear, he loves you and he deeply cares for you. He may not remove the storm, but he has promised to be with you in it and to use it for your good. Therefore, the Bible teaches us to thank him for the difficulty. Because through that difficulty, he is making you more like Christ. And if you haven't reached that point yet where you can thank him during the storm, pray that by the Spirit's help that you soon would be able to. Ask him to help you to lift your eyes from merely seeing your circumstances to seeing the one who is with you in it. And maybe you have no storm right now, but the Bible tells us in time, you will. Pray now that you would be able to thank God. Read your Bible so that you can cling to the truth in your difficult days. One of my favorite missionary lessons is that of Gladys Aylward. And in that story, we read about how she brought 100 children to safety during a very dangerous war. And as she was bringing these children to safety on this really dangerous adventure, they came to a large river and they had nowhere to go. Gladys was exhausted and tired and she felt like giving up. And she fell to the ground and one of the little children came up and said, "Gladys, but remember the story you told us about Moses and how God departed the Red Sea and brought the children of Israel to safety?" And Gladys, with tears in her eyes, looked up to the child and said, "But I am not Moses." And the little girl said, "Gladys, you may not be Moses, but God is still God." Maybe your circumstances seem much, much less dramatic, but the need remains the same. We must see Christ in his majesty and as a powerful and present one, always acting, always in control, and always sovereignly working our difficulties for our good and for his glory. How do we know that? Because this same Savior who awoke and silenced the storm is the one who said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And went to the cross and dealt with the peril far greater than a storm-tossed sea. He is the one who delivers us from a peril far greater than a storm, far greater than a dangerous war. Jesus, the Son of God, died to save sinners from an eternal peril. The peril of the righteous judgment of a holy God who in his justice must punish sin. Jesus suffered that we might know a peace far greater than the disciples experienced in that boat. A peace that comes when we know that all our sins are completely forgiven. And we are reconciled to the very one who could have left us in our peril. So, study the glorious Savior. And this morning, marvel. And watch your fears come back into proper proportion. Brothers and sisters, the goal is not to avoid trials. Jesus said that in this world, you are going to have great trouble. Our goal is to have faith informed by his divine authority and his glorious majesty. The one who says, "Be still," to a wind-tossed sea says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." The one who says, "Be still," said after the resurrection, "I am with you always." And the one who says, "Be still," said after the resurrection, or said to the raging seas, is the one who says, "It is finished," regarding our salvation. So bring your fearful heart to the one who has taken care of your greatest need, the one who is eager to attend to the fears that you face. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that because of your kindness, grace, and mercy, we, your children, have hope. Hope not only here on this earth, but hope for all eternity. Help us to have vertical vision rather than horizontal vision when we fear. Help us remember that you are always in control because you have complete authority over everyone and everything. All these things we pray through the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.